This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it.
Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings this.
It's there! Hartman! Jackpot! Kansas City!
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Yo, good morning, Portland. No, not Joe Fish. Joe Fish is out in some type of forest, lakefront, you know.
I like property. What you called it. White boy weekend.
It really is, man. Joe just doesn't like, oh, I'm just going to hang out with my son this weekend and we're just going to watch movies and everything. Nah, Joe likes to do these really extravagant things where it's the type of thing where you have to tuck your shirt in all the time. Like, that's where he is every weekend. I'm not going to, you know, no, I'm not going to front like he's somewhere.
Wearing a suit.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got a blazer on. I guarantee somewhere. And if nothing else, I guarantee his lady made him wear a blazer. At least.
Really?
I guarantee it.
I feel like he only wears the blazer like when he has to, like for like company pictures or like that really huge sales call that you know. You all dream about as kids, no. Like you do dreaming about hitting a game one walk-off home run in the World Series.
Joe's
like
a yuppie, so I guaranteed he's, he loves to... put on a lot of collared shirts, lots of blazers and stuff like that. Yeah, you see how he combs his hair, like the backwards kind of Charlie Sheen and Wall Street kind of look. So yeah, that's where Joe is right now. But hopefully he's having a great weekend, he and all of his guests. This is Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. I am your host for the day, Rashawn Taylor. Behind the glass got my guy Jordan Schultz. What's up, bro?
Oh, it's good to be here with you, brother.
How you feeling, man? I know you're not feeling super well today, man. And not like a hungover.
No.
Well, like a...
Not feeling good enough to drink last night. Yeah, well, like...
That's always the worst.
You know, kind of like when you get that feeling, like after the amazing Ducks win yesterday, number one, and excited to see...
Number one and running, baby.
Excited to see how bad they beat up on Michigan, and we can talk about that coming up later in this hour next weekend. But yeah, kind of driving home last night, like felt that little, just not right. You know, you kind of like, uh-oh, like I'm starting to get this. I'm starting to get sick, and then I couldn't really sleep, and then this morning woke up with like that, you know, crappy bacteria taste. So it's just like, oh, my God. Yeah. Football Sunday. Can it not be ruined, please?
No, did you? I mean, nowadays, you just can't get regular sick. Did you take the swab?
Oh, yeah. No. Two. We actually just got two COVID tests, like two randomly sent to
somebody's
our house
just,
again.
Somebody's just...
Yeah, they're just mailing them out, which is fine.
I mean, I appreciate it. I didn't want to spend $24 at the store to get one, so
no,
yeah.
They're free. And I did take... I took the one and then the other one, like, what, 12 hours apart or whatever. I don't know if you're supposed to do it, like... 24 or 48 or 2 days apart or
something,
2 hours apart, but I took
the
two
rules
tests
keep changing.
And they're negative. So I feel like I've got the coldy flu or whatever the hell.
Well,
it is.
Here's the cold part. Like, people forget that the actual cold and flu still exist.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, I think now when people get sick, it's instantly like, I might have COVID, you know, stomach hurts. Let me go take a test.
But
yeah
any of those symptoms,
the regular cold, common cold still exist, you know, out there for lots of us. So
the most annoying too, it's just like that, you know, a sore throat I think is like one of the like just the most annoying things that like you could deal with, just kind of like first world problem type of thing.
Do you think that like women always complain that men when they get sick, like, oh, they're the biggest babies and they're the biggest everything?
Yeah.
is that accurate?
I'd say for me, yes. I turn into a giant wussy, which I'm sure is surprising to nobody here on 1080 The Fan. I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Oh,
I'm all about good, lovey, touchy-feely stuff.
So you're really in touch with your emotions when you're going through it at that point.
Damn right. I'm excited for that Chiefs Hallmark Christmas movie coming out this season. No, but I do turn into a giant baby. My wife would attest to that, and I can't really deny it. I can't.
I don't know. It depends on how sick I am. See, I'm really independent, so at that point, I don't want to feel anybody to feel like they have to wait on me or something like that.
For sure.
Like, the one thing I don't want to do when I'm sick is go get stuff, though.
Like, exactly.
So if you can bring me some water, or if someone can bring me, like, you know, juice or the medicine, then I'll do that.
But or heading to the pharmacy, or like, can somebody?
I mean, at
that
point, I mean, if I'm not too sick, if it's not the vid, then I'll definitely get up and go to the store or, you know, whatever to get the things that I need. But still, man, like, that's the only part for me. Not necessarily. I don't really want anybody to like care for me like that. It's just, I don't feel like going to get that water. Would you mind? Like,
it's like, please, but just a little bit of help. Like, so you don't want to be waited on, but like, at the same time, a little bit at that point.
Yeah, I don't like feeling like that.
Yeah.
That I need somebody, I have to depend on someone in that situation. So I always try to like just thug it out a little bit when I'm sick. So hopefully you know, take care of yourself, Jordan, get yourself better. And hopefully all of you out there are taking care of yourself. Self-care is incredibly important at this time. Take it from me with everything that I've kind of had going. So, hey man, make sure you treat that cold, that cough. If you have to stay home from work, just do it.
I mean, I got a Halloween party to throw this Friday. So, like, I invited everybody from the station. I don't know if anybody will show
up. That's right,
but
man.
We'll have 20 people bumping at my house anybody here.
Where are you going to be for Halloween?
Jack and Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas. My wife bought the best Jack and Sally costumes off of Amazon. Like,
that's
with
awesome.
Like the big old, like, it's like a soft, like, you know, like, I don't, it's like a foam head that you put on, and then with the outfits. So,
yeah, I think me and my wife are going to be Ike and Tina.
Ooh.
Potentially. You know
I love
saying?
That. Did you see, and we'll talk about this, I've actually got a list of the best or the top Halloween costumes for this season to close out the show later on, Rashad, but did you see this tweet yesterday? The Halloween costume winner of 2024 already has been found, and it was the guy copying the French hurdler that didn't get over the bar because his mm-mm smacked it down. He was literally wearing a hurdler's outfit with a bulge and a bar attached to the bulge. I think that got like 4 million views on Twitter. I'll retweet it on the station page.
I wonder how many follows that guy got.
It was probably none. It's not. See, Twitter doesn't get you those follows. You just get the reactions from the picture. But
I'm talking about from the DMs from.
Oh, that was a fake bulge. Yeah. You could tell. You could tell.
Can you?
Yes, it was stuff.
I don't know. I didn't, you know.
Not necessarily like gazing at that stuff all the time, but you can tell when somebody shoves a roll of paper towels in there, and that's exactly what it looks like.
I mean, hey, man, you want to perform, you know? You want to perform well. You want to look good while you're doing it. And so, I'm not saying I would have done it, but I understand. I understand what he's doing, man.
Yeah, so, it's a good convo starter, isn't it? He's gonna end up somewhere.
Yeah,
or he did
end
up somewhere.
There's gonna be a lot of people that just want to find out.
Oh, so, can I touch your stick?
lucky him, you know. Lucky him.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, we got a dreary one in Portland right now for a couple reasons. One, because the weather is back. You know, we had that run of really, really nice October weather, and then all of a sudden, here we go. You know, lots of rain outside. What is
Except
it?
Except in Eugene yesterday. It was Except like pouring
was,
up here.
It was like beautiful. Like the gods shined down on Autzen Stadium yesterday, because even watching TV, I was like, is it not raining
It
here?
Never
like,
rains in Autzen Stadium. Yeah, God no, I mean, literally not, put the umbrella on it.
That's incredible. And because of it, man, the Ducks had an amazing game. We're going to talk about that game they had against the Fighting Illini yesterday at Autzen Stadium. Wasn't much of a game, but we'll still kind of dissect what we saw a little bit. Jordan and I have a pretty, not funny story, but interesting story about we got to hang out last weekend and took a trip up to Eugene. Took a trip to Corvallis, and went to go see the Beavs play.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, sort of fun.
Kind of an experience for the both of us. It was fun, but, you know, definitely experience. You got some highlights and really some lowlights, you know, from that trip. So talk a little bit about the top 25. What else we got today, Jordan?
Oh, we got a lot of stuff. Portland Trail Blazers, first two regular season games, Rashad. We're going
to
go.
It's hard to talk about the Blazers right now, especially during football, but we're definitely going to give them some Blazers, you know, today. So, obviously we got Who Do You Love, so get your picks in. You know, we're going to bet some fake money. At least I am. I'm not sure. Jordan might actually be putting money on
these
bets.
Be putting real money.
Yeah, he's actually putting real money. I myself am not that confident in my ability to pick winners every single week. Like, for whatever reason, my fantasy team, oh my God.
What's your record?
Man, 1-6.
Oh.
But here's the thing. In most games, I'm in the game until Monday night.
Oh, that's even more frustrating.
You know, Sunday night.
Giant teases.
And then everything kind of just collapses for me and everything. So, this year has been bad. This year has been bad. I'm not sure about you. And I'm only in one league this year. Like, I just decided, all right, put all my eggs into just this one basket. Yeah. Like, try not to be too good of a GM everywhere else. And it really backfired on me because I am not doing well right now.
It's okay, dude. It's honestly a crapshoot. I feel like the one year I had my draft set to, like, random and I didn't show up for it, I actually made the playoffs and got, like, a payout in my league. So it really is just... Man, you don't know. Like how many players are down already that were like top 10 picks in fantasy earlier this season?
Oh, man. Here's the cool part. When we did the draft, my draft was the third best draft of 10 people.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, okay, so I got all the right pieces, so I thought. And
then three of them get hurt.
Well, actually, nobody's gotten hurt. Everybody just sucks. Outside, with the exception of Lamar Jackson, who I have, who's been great for me, all season. Even during the losses that Lamar Jackson, I know, even during the losses that Lamar Jackson had, he was great for me. What's not so great has been my Rome Odunze pick, which was really like touted by like, oh, this is a great pick by Yahoo. It was like, yeah, we love this one.
Yeah, rookie wide receiver got up on the boards in this year. It was weird.
I mean, I think everybody thought that he was going to be Caleb's number one target, this year. And clearly that's not the case, but at least they're winning in Chicago. So shout out to them. But just a lot of like missteps so far. And
don't start Taysom Hill.
Not start Taysom Hill at any position, whether you want that to be quarterback or tight end. It is probably not going to end well for you. But where are you sitting right now with fantasy?
Oh, I'm like 3-4, something like that. It's just not great. But I still have a shot, I guess, to turn it around. But there's one guy undefeated in our league, and I play him this weekend. And he's, I think, projected to score like 30 more than I am. And it's just like, geez, I suck. Okay. It sucks because I had Nico Collins. He's down right now. Tyreek Hill hasn't had anybody throwing him the ball. I mean, maybe that's going to change with Tua coming back today. But like, so Tyreek's been good for nothing. I had Javonte Williams, who just got suspended. Javonte Williams, I'm thinking of for the Broncos, who I sat last week when he had his breakout performance, and then the other Williams for Detroit that I had on my team just got suspended for two games because of performance enhancing drugs, something like that.
Yeah. I think so. So yeah. Shout out to fantasy football and all the fantasy players that love to go through this stress every single Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night. So we love you guys. Shout out to y'all. So coming up next, man, the Ducks had a huge win at home against another Big Ten opponent. Man, is this one of the best number one Ducks team we've seen of the three that there have been? We'll talk about that next. Coming up right here, Football Sunday on the Correction, Football Sunday with Shad and Schultz. That's how this is going to go today.
Much better.
Because Joe is out, and so who cares where he is right now, right? As long as he's safe, and yeah, we're all good, man. But the Ducks, man, they just keep rolling along. Ooh, they beat up on Illinois yesterday at home, 38-9. This team just continues to look more and more impressive every week. I remember at the beginning of the season, we talked about how concerned we were with the offensive line and the offensive line not really being able to block, for Dylan Gabriel and him having no time to really get rid of the ball. Really, no time to let plays develop, and we've thrown that out the window because I think this offensive line, really, since the Ohio State game 3 weeks ago, has shown that they are legit. They are a real unit, and because of that, man, the Ducks just can do really whatever they want, whether it's running the ball, whether it's giving Dylan Gabriel some time to throw it, and then you got these just – incredible receivers, to be able to make plays. We forget how good Patrick Herbert is, and then all of a sudden he makes a big play, a big catch, and you're like, oh, okay. He does still play for them, huh?
Yeah, third tight end on the depth chart, and he's still
not
there,
Yeah, and he's still – and that's what they have. They have a lot of depth right now, and they're really flexing it. You have, like I said, a stable of stud receivers, and sometimes they don't have the games they're looking for, but yesterday you saw Tez Johnson, 102 yards in a tutty. he's incredible. So we'll probably see him play at the next level at some point. But Dylan Gabriel, man, that kid, man, he just continues to impress. 18 of 26 for 3 touchdowns. He did throw a pick in between there.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an underthrown ball there.
Yeah, he did. He did throw that pick, you know. But other than that, like, he played as well as you want a Heisman candidate to play in a big game. I think this might be the year. I don't want to, and I wish there was some wood I could knock on and everything like that. But we've seen some Duck teams that have been very, very talented. And, you know, we've seen the 2010 team that was really underrated as far as, like, the number one programs that were around, just because I think a lot of people didn't believe in Darren Thomas. But Darren Thomas took this team to the national championship and really had a close game, right? You know, that's the Cam Newton game. And if he hands the ball, I think it was to either Josh Huff or I can't remember, it was kind of a Seahawkish play, you know, on the goal line, and Darren Thomas decided to keep the ball instead of handing it off. And, you know, that may have been a national championship for that team at that point, you know. So and then you talk about that 2012 squad with Mariota. You know, they were ranked number one for, you know, all of 6 weeks of the season, and then went to number two and kind of stayed there for the rest of the year. But this team is probably I don't want to say they're the most balanced, you know, at this point, but you're watching them. You're not watching them run through the Pac-12. They're not beating up on Arizona, and they're not beating Washington State. They're not beating Oregon State, although they did beat Oregon State. Man, they're going in there either home or away, and they're beating Ohio State. You know, you're handling the number 20 team in the country, Illinois, who I think a lot of people kind of felt this was like a trap game, potentially coming off a couple big wins. Like, this could be the game where they just kind of let their guard down, and they did the opposite, and they didn't let them believe that they were even close to being in this game. And Illinois is a great team. Illinois is 6-1 coming into this game. So they were no slouch. It wasn't a pushover team. And you saw Oregon handle it. I'm looking at this team saying, you're showing you can beat the upper echelon competition throughout college football. I don't see why they can't go to and win the national championship this year.
To first address where you started with the offensive line, absolutely shored up. There's no questions now. I think I heard Will Ortner say on last night's Ducks postgame scoreboard show that he counted like 8 Mississippis at one point for Dylan Gabriel that he had to throw the ball. Like, that is unheard of. And you usually can't recover, or you can't cover a receiver for more than like 3 or 4 seconds. At that point, they will start to break out of the route. It becomes like video game football. You know, the quarterback moves out of the pocket, and then you usually get a big play. And that happened a couple of different times last night, but Dylan Gabriel just had, I would say, almost an unlimited amount of time to throw the ball, which is huge, because this is, now you're talking about the Big Ten, this isn't a Pac-12 league anymore. These are bigger teams up front. This is just a whole different system of football that Oregon's moving into. However, it's looking very similar, at least results-wise, to Oregon beating up on fellow Pac-12 opponents when they were in that conference that were coming up through the year being, you know, touted as like, oh, hey, kind of 3-4 games into the season, they're the 20th team in the nation. They're the 15th team in the nation. Now you're seeing it, and this is a fighting Illini team, excuse me, that knocked off Nebraska earlier this season. They took Michigan out of the top 25. They beat Kansas for their second game of the year. Like, nothing to sneeze at here. Illinois is good. And I'm not saying that they're amazing, you know, but like, Brett Bielema had the worst ever halftime deficit in his career yesterday against the Ducks. Like, that was unheard of for Oregon to beat up on Illinois, but especially like a Big Ten team like that. Now, 2 weeks in a row after the Purdue game, now you go into Illinois, you see what Oregon is establishing in that front seven, and the offensive line is amazing. Absolutely. I totally agree. You saw Justice Lowe starting really to, I would say, like, his emergence now is complete as a new top wide receiver option. Your wide receiving room, so deep now. It's almost like Trayshawn Holden is close to getting Wally pipped at this point. Mm-hmm. If, you know, because you got Evan Stewart, you got Tez Johnson, like you said, he's going to be in the league next year. And now you got Justice Lowe, the young sophomore from Portland, Oregon. He's up on the list now. So you still got Holden there. And then, like you said, even without Terrence Ferguson yesterday, Kenyon Sadiq and Patrick Herbert making a huge impact. Is this Oregon's best overall number one team? I think so. I think just the makeup alone, you've got 4 and 5 star guys, two positions deep. It's something that when Alabama was winning a championship that's every exactly other season,
yeah.
that's how their depth chart was stacked. But then beyond that, Rashad, you've now seen Oregon sitting at 8-0, the number one team in the nation, really... I would say answer the questions of any haters or national media that were wondering where Dan Lanning was headed, if he's going to be able to get wins.
Coach of the year.
In big football games. Absolutely.
Coach of the year.
At this point, if they continue to play like they have, yeah. But the just really quickly, just the way that Oregon's team, first just made up of really great recruits, now moving into the conversation of, no, this team, not just good on paper, but really good on the field and is going to make noise in the college football playoff. I think the transition for Dan Lanning to like being like one of the elite head coaches is almost complete. And yeah, this is the best number one team Oregon has ever had, period.
Yeah, it is. It really, I mean, obviously, we can go through position by position and be like, okay, well, he's better than him, and he's better than him, you know. So I think all of us would take Marcus Mariota over Dylan Gabriel right now. And that's not a diss towards Dylan Gabriel, but you're talking about the greatest Oregon quarterback that's, you know, ever existed at this point. So that's, again, no diss to him. But if you're we can go position by position. It's like, would you rather have Josh Huff or would you rather have, you know, Tez Johnson right now? It's like, whatever. I think a lot of Duck purists would probably say Josh Huff, but there's something special about Tez Johnson and you can see it. So we can go player for player and be like, maybe, maybe not. But overall, like you said, Jordan, I think this team has got it. And then on the defensive end, I think that's the where Oregon has never been known as a defensive juggernaut. Right. You know, like it's always been offensively is where they shine. No, how they stood up against Ohio State, you know, how they stood up against a really good Illini, how they stood up against a great running back in Genty from Boise State.
Boise State. Top like, three so, in the Heisman voting.
So, I mean, so I think they've been tested. They can continue to be tested, you know, every week. What's the freshman from Ohio State, the receiver? Like he's had a hell of a game. Against Oregon, but yeah, I think every week there's a new test for them, and they just continue to kind of pass with flying colors. And so, I'm not usually this time of year. I'm kind of like, well, this is the week that it falls off, you know, and this is the week that it's, you know, they get to, you know, too big for themselves, and they go out there and they lay an egg. Like we've seen it happen before, and then you know they play a Utah, and it's like, come on,
yeah.
Like, you play Washington and you lose by three. It's like, come on. You were right there.
2012, they were number one going into their game against Stanford. They lost that game. Yeah, it's just
game.
It's like been almost a repeat of the same story.
Yeah, and so, but now here they are 8-0, you know, and the best team in the land. And if you're a Ducks fan, you have to be happy right now, you know, because it looks like for all the years we've been watching Oregon, and really, I'll say one team that I don't think they were ranked number one at some point, but they might have been. I doubt it, though. But that 2001 Ducks team.
Oh, yeah, the Harrington
led.
Yeah,
with Joey Harrington and Jonathan Stewart.
When they missed out on the national championship, went to the Fiesta Bowl.
When they should have been playing Miami in the national championship that year. I think that team was more than legit, you know, at that point. But I think this is Oregon's best opportunity, and I think we're all, whether you're probably not a Beaver fan, but everybody else here in the state of Oregon has really caught on, and I think now they've made everybody believers. You know, for a long time, it's like, okay, you can beat Ohio State, but they continue to roll, and I think now everybody is aware of that little team out there in Autzen, Oregon.
To respond to Jake the Hater on YouTube, he says, if Illinois is great, then so is Mizzou. Now, I'm not saying, if I said Illinois is great, I apologize. Illinois is good, all right? And frankly, teams from the Big Ten are better than teams from the Pac-12, and my point is that Oregon not only is beating these teams, but Rashad, their defense is all, like, specifically all on the same page. When Tysheem Johnson got that pick yesterday of Altmyer, it was, I don't know if you saw, but as the play was happening or as it started, you saw 3 or 4 different Oregon defensive guys basically waving over, getting their hands over to adjust. They recognized the play and then literally intercepted the pass because they knew exactly what was coming. Their communication's great. The Ducks' preparation by the coaching staff is on point. And the physicality. The physicality now in this Big Ten league that you're a conference that you're going to need to win is different. And look at what Noah Whittington did yesterday. Look at what Derek Harmon's been doing all season. This Oregon team is the most physical team I've ever seen, and that's what I'm trying to get at, is they can beat teams like Illinois, like Purdue, which are traditionally way more physical than the Arizona States and the Cals of the world.
Yeah, I'm going to respectfully disagree with my guy, Jake the Hater, because, yes, this Nebraska team, excuse me, this Illinois team beat some really good teams. You know, if you're ranked within the top 25, you are a great team. How many teams are there in college football?
120 something.
That's a lot of teams.
127.
So to tell me that you're one of the best 25 teams in college football is saying something. And guess what? Coming into the season, Illinois beat the number 19 team. They beat the number 22 team. They beat the number 24 team. The only team they lost to was a really good Penn State team that a lot of people expect a lot from, you know, moving forward for the year. Still one of the Penn State still undefeated, right? No.
Oh, yeah. They got the win yesterday.
Penn State still
It was a little bit of a struggle early, but they ended up winning 28.
So the two teams that they lost to were the two teams that are still undefeated right now. I think that's you know, pretty legit right now. So, I mean, maybe not a great team, but hell, top 25 of 125, 27 teams or whatever. Yeah, that's pretty damn legit to me. So coming up from a team that's the number one in the nation to maybe the number 49, 52?
Oh, it might be worse than that after yesterday.
Well, we're going to talk some beefs because that season might be over at this point. And so we'll talk about that coming up next. But first, Jordan has sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get your morning going with some good old Tupac. Pitching me rolling.
Yes, please.
You a Pac fan?
Oh, I love Tupac. Tupac, Biggie, that's when I would just want to relax, like, but I don't want to, like, go too hard, but, like, I still kind of want to feel it. Yeah, that's good stuff to put
whoa,
on.
Whoa, pause.
But I mean, like, whatever, yeah, pull that, I got it, it's a drop. But, yeah. Like, when you're in a mood, just, you don't really want to, like, you know, go rage party, but, like, you just, you want to, you know, like, get a good vibe going. It's,
yeah. I know all about it, man. You know, we had a nice little car ride together last week,
yeah.
Jordan and I. And lots of
good tunes, by the way.
Man, you know, I like a very a nice mix of music. So we had some rap going, we had some R&B, we had some, I don't know, some
finished it up with some 90s music on the way back, dude.
Yeah,
I loved
man.
It.
Yeah, it was we were all out there, man. So we went to Corvallis to go see Oregon State play my alma mater, the UNLV running Rebels. Go Rebs. And gotta say, man, like, number one, shout out to Oregon State for the upgrades to your stadium.
Does look really nice.
Going to Reser always felt like a huge downgrade from going to Autzen. It almost kind of looked like a high school stadium or something like that. Like, one side just had some bleachers, you know, just to kind of sit in. It
just looked unfinished.
It just looked like they were like, yeah, this is good enough. We'll take it from here. But no, they've made some renovations. They've put some food in there. That the Qdoba that was inside is the don't eat that. But there's some other stuff in there that was kind of cool. Overall, it just wasn't like, and UNLV is a good team. And I would say that UNLV, unfortunately, we lost a tough one yesterday to Boise State by 6, you know, and that really, really, that sucked because I thought we were going to win that game in the third quarter. And then Boise State scored that fourth quarter touchdown. And it just kind of, there goes that 6-2 for UNLV. But coming into that game, they were 6-1, just on the outside of the top 25, hoping to get inside. And kind of dominated, you know, the Beavs, and the score was closer than, you know, than it actually was. But man, like, overall, I thought that's where we saw the wheels fall off for Oregon State. Like, I mean,
yeah.
After that, you know, obviously they followed up yesterday or last week's loss with another loss to Cal, and Cal absolutely wiped the floor with Oregon State 44-7. Cal is a 4-4 team. Now, Jake the Hater, that's not a good team. Cal is not a great team, or not, you know, at all, but they still came in, scored 14 in the first, 17 in the second, 10 in the third, and then a nice little field goal in the fourth quarter just to cap it off. They did whatever they wanted to this Oregon State team, and we saw up close, like, Javonte McCoy just can't throw the ball.
Not really. He can't against throw the ball. Superior competition, no. He had a great sophomore year at Idaho, but it seems to be a struggle for him moving up a level of competition.
Yeah, he can't throw the ball, and that was a huge
nor did he have much time to throw the ball.
He didn't have much time, and really, you know, they had to go back to Ben Gulbranson. You know, and whenever you have to go back
to Ben. Is it 2020, really?
It is. It's something like that. But, you know, at least he didn't throw any interceptions. You know,
no, but he sucked.
Yeah, he wasn't great. 11 for 20, 131 yards through the air and a touchdown. But that, obviously, I think they had much bigger problems than Ben Gulbranson. Oregon State, who has always been kind of touted as this, you know, the school for, you know, these incredible running backs, at least over the last couple of years. Anthony Hankerson yesterday, 16 carries for 49 yards, his worst performance of the year.
They didn't have
Jam. Jam Griffin playing either. So not a great performance, you know, running the ball. Obviously, receiving, if you only throw for 131 yards, probably not going to be a great game either. And on the other side, Cal's Fernando Mendoza had a great game through the air and threw two touchdowns and almost 400 yards, 364 yards in the air.
Did you see the first touchdown of the game?
I did.
Yeah, that was kind of disheartening, I think, if you're Oregon State, right?
I did.
A little lateral from basically a near-the-ground running back to Mendoza, who ran it in wide open for like 10 yards in for the touchdown.
Yeah, it wasn't a great watch. And, you know, by the time it got to end of the second half, I was like, I think I don't have to watch this anymore. I can turn this off, you know. And I'm wondering what happened, you know, because we had a lot of expectation for Oregon State coming into the year, just considering the year that they had last year, you know. So I think this year you're expecting 10, 11 wins, you know, with the schedule that they have. And, you know, I think they can still get to, what, 8? You know,
I mean, yeah,
like
they can get to a bowl.
They can get to a bowl, you know, and it's going to mean something. But at this point, you've already lost your big game to U of O third week of the season. So that really celebratory last game that you have, you know, to at least kind of end the season on a possible high note, that's over. You don't have that anymore. So there's no Civil War game or Platypus Bowl or whatever we're calling it now. That doesn't really exist for you to get excited about. So how excited can you be about playing in the Jimmy Kimmel Las Vegas Bowl?
Ooh, I mean, going to Vegas would be fun. I think that'd probably be the highlight of these kids' year for Oregon State. But if you're asking how they got here, there's been a couple of reasons that I think you can attach to that. First of all, there's been anonymous reports kind of just floating out around there from sources that I've had close to the program since Trent Bray took over, that the organization to start, you know, spring ball, trying to establish a new regime under Bray, bringing in the new quarterback coach and offensive coordinator in Ryan Gunderson, didn't really go too well. The communication wasn't great. The structure of practices reportedly, and this is just according to anonymous sources, you know, close to me that I have heard that know the program and know what's going on there. So just a lack of organization from the start. You know, you've got an inexperienced head coach that I'm not trying to knock Trent Bray, but I'm not sure he was necessarily ready to become a head coach. We haven't really seen it from this point, you know, or to this point this season. Like, I could still be proven wrong, but along with a lack of organization from the start, you obviously just don't have the talent that you did. You were gutted. All your good players basically left. These are all the guys that, you know, minus like Hankerson and Griffin, these basically are all the guys that are the leftovers for Oregon State. Leftovers from other teams. Javonte McCoy looked to be a good pickup, but if you don't have an offensive line and you just got to run all the time, well, you're going to basically experience middle of the season what Cal did to you. You're going to get sacked and they're going to spy you the entire game. Javonte McCoy ran for -4 yards yesterday. He was not able to get out into the open field at all like we saw, and that was the reason Oregon State actually came back and, you know, made it a game against UNLV. I think they had a play, like a fourth and one with a second to go with a possibility to tie it with a successful two-point conversion. And that was because Javonte McCoy made a difference on the ground. But if you have no wide receivers, if your best receiver is a white guy, you know, that you're basically throwing to because you've got no one else and you've got to run all the time and your two-headed running back attack is halfway down, you're screwed. And I've heard bad things as well from different people on Twitter were saying it looked like Oregon State players quit during the game yesterday, which I did watch some of the highlights. And I will say from my vantage point, the effort didn't necessarily look like it was there. But, you know, that could be for a myriad of reasons. Injury, like they may be not listening to the coaches anymore. Like what I'm talking about, the communication, not really great from the start. It's a tumultuous time at Oregon State. And Rashad, can I add, seems to me that the main reason that Oregon State Beavers fans go to Reser Stadium, correct me if I'm wrong on this, is to drink. Like, literally, I saw puke in a porta potty, covered, falling out of the front of the porta potty, as well as seeing some other dude fall on me, literally on me. Thank God he hit me and not the concrete. Otherwise, his head might have been a little less okay, but dang, like it was a different vibe. It was a different vibe last Saturday.
It was a different vibe, but not like even like a, and this is no diss. Maybe it is. I'm sorry. Sorry, B fans, but for a school that's supposed to be a party school.
Yeah.
Because let's be real, Oregon State has always been considered the more party school than OU. I'll go on record and say I've had more fun at Oregon State than I have at U of O
ditto.
As far as partying.
I can add to that. Yeah, ditto.
Y'all's tailgate was trash. It was no excitement. There was no energy.
It was a very lowly, yeah.
Really like, what is this? Like, it was mad easy to park. It was super easy to get out. Like,
we got out in 15 minutes.
I don't think we got, and it only took 15 minutes because we had to walk for 12.
It's true, exactly.
You know, so we walked for, you know, a few minutes.
Parked in some lady's driveway for 20 bucks.
Shout out to the people smart enough to know you can make a lot of money on game day by letting people park in your driveway. Shout out to you. But yeah, it was just kind of overall, there was no Wi-Fi inside of the stadium. I was like, man, I couldn't get pictures. I couldn't send anything, couldn't check bets. It was the weirdest thing. Oregon State, like, you know, I'll give you a B plus for your upgrades and renovations for sure. But just aesthetics, you know, inside, once you get inside the, you get like maybe a C minus.
I mean, I feel bad for Oregon State fan. I get that it's been a rough week. The schedule next year for them doesn't look good.
You don't have to go there though. Like, I get it. Like, but
no,
you
but
know,
I want to do a service to Beaver fan here.
You know,
I do.
There's a cooler school that has way cooler stuff that's like an hour away. Not even an hour away, like maybe 45 minutes away. You can go there. Like, I mean, they've got cool stuff. They got cool arenas, cool buildings, cool jerseys. Like, I mean, they got a cool little area to eat your food. And so, like, I'm sorry, Beaver fan. I'm not going to do that to you guys today. But, get it together. Three losses in a row. I think a lot of the state of Oregon expected a little bit more from you at this point. So.
Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6FAN.
I'm sorry. I know it's going to be bad.
He says, what happened is they suck and have always sucked. They just suck more now.
Yeah, I guess, man.
I guess.
Well, the Pac-2, you know.
Derek Anderson was good for a while. Dennis Erickson, Mike Riley were okay. But,
it was like 20 years ago. Yeah. So moving on. Who do you love? There are some games. We're going to pick them. Hopefully we help you out with some bets and kind of go from there, man. So that's going to happen.
Hold on. And one more quick response on the Vancouver Ford text line to the texter that says, 1 year ago, the Beavers were in the top 12. Now they're in hell. Give them a break. You guys are wholly unreasonable. Did I not just say they were gutted? Did I not just say that?
They were.
I think I pointed out very succinctly that all their players, like, yeah, no more Damian Martinez, who you thought that you were going to keep him, and no offensive line, no wide receivers of, like, any talent to speak of. Like, yes, you were last year, and you got gutted this year, and the coaching staff was not ready to take over.
Again, I had some expectations for the Beavs just based on how well they played last year and really how well they played to start the year, you know, against Idaho State and San Diego State. They're going to have a chance to redeem themselves. They can still roll off four wins in a row and, you know, make this a savable season with eight wins. So next week they've got 2 weeks, they got San Jose State. So maybe a week off for them.
Yeah, good, we'll good, do them. Good time for a bye.
Exactly. A week off for them. We'll do some good, be able to kind of, you know, get their head straight and get ready to host San Jose State on the 9th. So, yeah, on the CW Network. Okay, coming up, who do you love? That's next on Football Sunday on the Fan.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
My favorite song, my favorite segment. This is Who Do You Love? We go through some NFL picks, or now that the season started, we can also pick some NBA picks for you as well. But for the sake of today, we're going to go just NFL. We'll save the NBA picks for next week as teams kind of really start to find their groove. Hopefully the Blazers can do that. Probably not.
Getting called idiots and told to F off on the Vancouver Ford text line is pretty fun.
Oh, well it's par for the course, man.
Yeah, that's Beaver fan.
That must be, right. Yeah, sorry about it, man. Just get some Wi-Fi and you guys will be fine, you know, over there. That's all I say. Joe Fish happened to send in his picks because, he wants to make sure he had to be involved anyway. So, Ravens, Cardinals, Ravens are -8. So he said he's going to do that.
The Ravens, you mean Browns?
No, he said, Ravens, is it Ravens? Excuse me.
I was like, the Cardinals are playing the Miami Dolphins.
I'm sorry, I just read the text wrong. Ravens, Browns, Ravens -8. That's where Joe is going to go.
I like that play.
For my first one, I'm going to go Miami, Arizona. The over-under is 46.5. I'm taking the under. Miami hasn't scored a whole lot of points over the last few weeks. Tua's coming back, though, so yep. We'll see how much that impacts them. But I'm taking the under today.
My first one, I think it's a pretty easy over. The Bears v. Commanders over 43.5. Getting that number on most betting sites still at this point really quickly before we start play. It's, I think, going to be very high scoring regardless of if it's Jaden Daniels or Marcus Mariota at quarterback for the Commanders, Caleb Williams, and the, I'd say, sometimes exciting Chicago Bears and sometimes not, do seem to be able to score.
They're playing well, though, so far.
Exactly. No, I mean, 4-2 under Matt Eberflus, pretty surprising for the Bears. That kind of making me lean into the over here. Bears v. Commanders, 43.5.
Joe's second one says he's got Arizona, just like me, Arizona, Miami, and he's taking the Dolphins. The over under is 46.5, and he's taking the under.
So he's doing the same thing you are. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like it, man. I feel like that's easy money today. For me, the second one, I'm going to go all over unders today. The second one for me is I'm taking Houston hosting the Indianapolis Colts. Houston is the third highest scoring team in the league. The over under is 45.5. I am taking the over today.
Nice. My second one's Packers v. Jaguars. It's down to a -3 spread for the Green Bay Packers. I do think that they're going to win. They've won their last three. Been rushing the ball pretty well. Jaguars, unfortunately, I mean, not good anywhere, but not really good at home this year either. Green Bay's D, I think they're going to make a difference. And they've had a nice offensive surge with Jordan Love coming back. So I think the Packers to cover against Jacksonville in Jacksonville, that's a risky pick, a road cover, but I think it's going to happen for the Packers
the
today.
The funny thing is Joe Fisher agrees with you. And he's taking the Packers, you know, -3.5, you know, today.
Well, it got down to 3, so I wonder if he got it in. Yeah, I just looked at it and put in a parlay with a -3. Yeah, so.
Okay. Well, we're just going to go ahead and say he said 3 as well. You know,
we'll give him the 3.
We'll give him the 3 if that's what it is. For my last pick, man, it's actually the lowest over-under of the week, you know, so far. And it is the Monday night matchup. And it's Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the New York Giants. Neither team really knows how to score at this point. I don't really know if they have the – Malik Nabers might be the best person, you know, on the field for either team. So the over-under is 36.5. I'm going to take the over today because I think both teams will score, you know, right around, let's say, 20 points, 21 points. Yeah, let's say that. Or at least one of them. I think one team is going to have a big game.
This is a bit of a risky one, but I'm looking at the afternoon slate here. I had originally put Bills Seahawks, On my list, but each time I look at the Kansas City Las Vegas matchup, I just think it is a tasty 8.5 point spread. I know once again Kansas City is on the road, but the Raiders have been absolutely terrible. They don't have a quarterback. They just traded their best wide receiver. I don't know what Antonio Pierce is trying to do as far as like a rebuild goes.
Cleaning house
without a quarterback. Like I guess they're just trying to draft somebody this coming year, right? But that doesn't mean they're going to win today, and I don't think they're going to be able to score many points today. Chiefs covering the 8.5 in Vegas.
Well, there you have it, folks. That is Who Do You Love? We got all our picks in. Hopefully you got yours in too. Games are going to start in about 4 minutes, so Woo-hoo. Go ahead and get your picks in. Make sure you get your fantasy lineup all squared away. You do not want to be one of those people that starts at 10:01 and forgot to change your receiver
literally because somebody has right now.
Because somebody is on a bye. So you don't want to be that guy, not this week at least. So coming up next, Hour 2, Football Sunday. Man, we're moving right along. We're moving right along, man. There's a lot going out there, man. Are we I'm going to talk some Blazers, man.
Some Blazers. We're going to talk some baseball well.
We're going to talk some Blazers. We're going to talk some baseball. The Yankees are up against it, man. They're on their way back to the Bronx. Down 0-2. LA fans are loving life right now because looks like the Dodgers are 2 games away from claiming the first World Series in, what, just a couple years? A few years?
I think their last one was the pandemic 2020 shortened season. So
4 years. Yeah, that's so this is going to be considered the legit World Series championship. So we'll see, man. We got a lot happening right now in sports, and we're going to talk about it all with you. That's coming up next right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dude. Well, I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey. Want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour 2 of Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan. A Schultzy Rashad Taylor edition. Schultzy and Shot in. Joe Fisher out on special assignment doing some fun stuff while we're trapped in the studio. God, he's such a jerk for not being here.
Screw that guy, man.
I'm just kidding. No, I hope he's having fun out there. It's actually, yeah, we were talking about how beautiful of a weekend it was down for the people in Eugene watching the Ducks game, but actually pretty rainy up here. So maybe he did the right thing by getting out of Dodge.
It's always best to get out of Portland when it starts to rain. At least if you're going to be in the rain somewhere sexy. This isn't there's nothing sexy about this. You know what I mean.
Where's a sexy rain destination to you?
Ooh.
It's a good question, actually.
It's like a cabin somewhere.
Oh, so you're talking like kind of poked away in the forest. Not really around anything.
A nice hotel view.
Very secluded location.
Exactly.
I like that. I mean, that could be a nice little getaway, or it could be a scary murder cabin. A lot of serial killers hiding out here in the Pacific Northwest.
One thing I like to do, and I do it by myself. I'm a big fan of getting just a hotel room.
Yeah.
Just me.
Oh, really?
Man.
Just to kind of take a minute?
Man, and mind you, I hate sleeping in hotel beds. It's always so uncomfortable. Yeah. I don't know why, for whatever reason, but it's one of those things I love to do. They get a nice room somewhere with a nice view, maybe a breakfast or, you know, a nice place to have dinner and just kind of chill. Now, it's always fun with, like, you know, my wife and stuff like that. But, like, yeah. Usually, like, if she has to do something, like, maybe she'll stay the night, like, at her mom's house or at her dad's, who lives pretty far away. It's a good opportunity for me to say, well, shoot, man, let me go ahead and book me a room at one of these nice places. And you know how cheap it is to do stuff with just one person.
Yeah, when you're by yourself, it is a little bit more cost effective,
man. Absolutely, whatever you want, you know, for just that one person. So
that's why the term dink exists, right? Double income, no kids. Like, the kids taking away all that cash,
all that stuff, man. So yeah, man. But hopefully, man, I think the goal is to I've been thinking about traveling for Christmas.
Ooh, okay.
Which, yeah, that is just mad expensive.
Well, it's a hairy endeavor too, because you usually, like, you talking about going to stay with family, because I've seen the really just sad pictures of all the makeshift beds and, like, areas where people are sleeping in for a week in their old,
now,
the other parents'
that.
Old, like,
I want to do that.
Yeah, basement or whatever. God,
I want to do a Kevin McAllister Home Alone 2 type of Christmas, you know, at a nice hotel or something like that. I think that would be super, super dope.
You're speaking of good hotel beds. And one, if you ever do go up to Seattle, you want to catch a Mariners game or a Seahawks game, that hotel right next to T-Mobile Park, they got the most comfy beds.
Okay.
Like, literally, like, I could fall asleep. Just
Is it
like
a Motel 6?
No, it's a really nice hotel. And they're not paying us.
What's wrong
with
Motel 6?
Nothing, but they don't have as nice of a bed as a 4-star hotel. I think that's just a pretty safe assumption. But talking baseball, actually, to transition a little bit away from hotel beds into watching the World Series, Rashad.
Of course, sick beds for Yankee fans.
Yeah, my Mariners not anywhere close to it, but what a couple of entertaining games in the first two of the World Series. We'll start really quickly with Friday night. I don't know if you were watching, Rashad, but
I watched the extra innings, yeah.
Unbelievable walk-off grand slam from Freddie Freeman. Dude went 2 of 5, including that walk-off. And I don't know if this is true. I saw this tweet. I haven't been able to check it, but just really cool information if it is, that walk-off grand slam occurred on the same day, 36 years later, of the Kirk Gibson walk-off home run when he was injured limping around the bases for the Dodgers in the World Series. But it also happened, apparently, according to X, at the exact same time, 8:37 Pacific time, 36 years apart. And yeah, theoretically, I guess if that game, you know, back in the 80s started at 5:08, 5 o'clock or whatever, makes sense that the timing would be similar, since this was like a 10-inning game. So
the baseball gods, you know, shining through.
I mean, just
that point.
What a scene that was.
No, it really was. It really was cool. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think about in sports, like, hole in one, like, you know, like a hat trick. I'm just trying to think
the
about
biggest
something
moments,
like
a perfect
cool,
game,
a
yeah.
cool moment in the playoffs, in the finals that we've seen. You know, Jordan's, you know, last shot to win the game. A walk-off grand slam in the first game, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, in game one of the – that's nuts, man. Like, and so I remember watching that, like, wow, like, this is crazy. Like, for a minute, I was like, okay, the Yankees are probably going to win this game. They took the lead, and it's like, okay, this is it. You know, they're going to win this game.
Oh, yeah, Stanton with the big two-run blast to take the lead. It was just like,
that was
majestic. Oh, my God, they're
right. That was crazy. And so, and then, you know, turn around the next night, and this series so far has been awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been all Dodgers, and it's been like – crazy, you know, crazy things. The Dodgers, like, between, you know, Hernandez and Freeman, back to back, you know, home runs. Like, what are you going to do right now? The baseball gods are literally. Jackie Robinson is like, all right, I got y'all.
Couple more home runs. We're going to start calling Freddie Freeman Mr. October.
I mean, right? You have to. Like, I mean, and mind you, home runs in huge, huge moments. And obviously now there's some concern just around Shohei. And his shoulder, like, what's that going to look like? I know he's getting it looked at now, or
yeah,
it's getting it looked at already.
It's like a partially dislocated shoulder. It was like a subluxation, I think is the word that they're using. And apparently, I looked up what this means. It's essentially not when, like, the bones themselves get dislocated, but the joint that holds the bones together gets dislocated. So it's basically a small partial shoulder dislocation. I'm thinking they're going to pop that S right back in, and Otani's going to be back in the lineup on Monday,
man,
as a DH.
Otani is
it's the World Series. It ain't game 80.
No, there's no way that he's going to, you know, miss the rest of this game. But, you know, as I'm watching, and I have a bunch of friends who are Yankee fans and stuff like that, and the one thing all of them say is, you know, you see what not having, like, closers is doing for you. Right. It's just you're at this point in the season, I feel like they're just not as confident because they know it's like pitching down the stretch is going to be
their bullpen
is going to be a problem
built on popsicle sticks.
Yeah, it's like it's going to be a problem. So if you're the Yankees, you got to score runs. You got to belt them out the park. You got to figure out a way to score runs, because at this point, like, I don't know if your pitching is going to be good enough. Like, they're hitting home runs, like knocking out home runs. You know what I mean? Something's got to change. And the next game is tomorrow in the Bronx.
Yes.
The Yankees got to figure it out, because they lose one more, and we can pretty much go ahead and say that this series is over.
It was pretty sad to see kind of like a mirror image when Nestor Cortez came in to basically just give up that grand slam to Freddie Freeman, a mirror image of what the Mariners did in the 2021 playoffs with Scott Servais going to Robbie Ray to face Yordan Alvarez, and then Yordan hit that walk-off basically to give the Astros a 2-0 series lead. It was almost the exact same situation where Ray hadn't pitched in a long time. They decided to throw him in there in a very high-leverage situation, and the Yankees did that with Nestor Cortez, and I think that was probably the biggest mistake you could make if you're Aaron Boone. You're right. Their bullpen has been terrible. It's literally been built on tape and popsicle sticks, and you all of a sudden thought, oh, Luke Weaver, he's going to be my guy, and then he gives it up in the ALCS once. Like, no guy has been just shut down. There's no Emmanuel Clase. There's no Edwin Diaz for the Yankees staff, and the Dodgers bullpen with Bonda, Gritterall, Kopech, Trinan, right? And then Yamamoto with the great Game 2 gem. We haven't really even gotten to Game 2 yet. I was just trying to go over Game 1. Like, how amazing is that to get into Game 2? Yeah, Yamamoto, 6 1/3, 4 strikeouts on 86 pitches. And the rest of the bullpen, yeah, obviously there was that run given up by Blake Trinan, but the rest of the bullpen pretty much able to keep it down for the Dodgers. And there's really there's no bigger difference on their teams than the bullpen, that's for sure. The bullpen for the Dodgers is near elite, and the bullpen for the Yankees is a group of popsicle sticks being held together by tape.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's, I don't know, things are looking bleak for the Yankees, but we've seen in baseball, we've seen teams come back and make it a series. You know, I think maybe a move to back to the Yankee Stadium would help them at this point, maybe having the crowd behind them, because right now they've been playing just well enough to lose close games. But unfortunately, that's not good enough. The Dodgers all season have been the better team. They've had better pitching. You know, they've been able to hit the ball. Like, I don't know. I mean, Mariano Rivera, you might have to come out of retirement just one night, you know, just to be able to give the Yankees some type
of Sterling. Yeah, you know, give them something.
Some type of energy, because right now, like I said, things are looking bleak for them down 2-0 on their way back home.
Yeah, the Dodgers traveling to New York. They're going to be there for 3 games. That's how the World Series is structured. If you aren't aware, it's 2 games and then 3 and then 2 back in L.A. So it's going to be a telling time here for the Yankees. I know Aaron Boone, think that reaction of his with the walk-off homer or the walk-off grand slam on Friday night was pretty funny. Just that but I know that Aaron Boone thinking some home cooking is going to help him. You still got Juan Soto. You still got Aaron Judge, although Aaron Judge has been striking out like half of his at-bats during the postseason. Yeah. So it hasn't been great. It's pretty much been like home run or bust for Aaron Judge. Thankfully, Giancarlo stepping up.
Yeah, he didn't just get on base.
Yeah, and Jazz Chisholm moving things along. He's stolen a couple of bases in the playoffs. You love to see that. But other than that, the bottom of their lineup, you talk about the bullpen being a big separation between the Yankees and the Dodgers. Another big separation is 5 through 9 in their lineups, right? The Yankees have nobody that's hitting right now. Rizzo, Volpe, Wells, and Verdugo, they're just kind of like, let's throw them out there and hope something sticks. I'd be happy to get a hit out of these guys. But Kike Hernandez, who just never seems to stop producing in the playoffs. You got Max Muncy, who hit the Game 1 World Series game-winning homer, I think, in 2020 when the Dodgers were playing in that series. series. So Max Muncy's been there. He's done big things. And then Will Smith, a really good catcher in baseball. Like, and then Tommy Edman, obviously, at the bottom of the lineup, hitting his ass off. Like, the 5-9 for the Dodgers and the bullpen are just vastly better than the New York Yankees.
Yeah, and I think the Yankees know that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's in their heads at this point. So, Aaron Judge has to do something. He's got to wake up because they're not going to win if he's not able to at least put some runs on the board. Like, it's not going to happen.
So do you think this goes 7? I originally said I think the Dodgers win in 7. I thought it was going to be a 1-1 series at this point, though. So I'm not quite sure if it's going to go 7 anymore. Who do you see winning this?
Oh, no. It depends on how this game – like, if the Yankees can get this game – I think they can have enough confidence to maybe make it 2 in a row, you know, potentially make it a 5-game series, you know, 5-game series back in New York.
Clark Schmidt taking the ball for New York. Walker Buehler taking the ball for the Dodgers, by the way. So no bullpen game for LA,
no,
which is
not
good.
Not really.
No, I don't I don't like the opener thing. I you need a starter in the playoffs.
You know? No, you definitely do. So I don't know. I think, unfortunately for the Yankees, I think the Dodgers are playing some inspired baseball. Just look at the last two nights and how they played. Like, this is the type of stuff they write Disney movies about, right? And so, yeah, I think the Dodgers probably take it in five if the Yankees can't, you know, figure it out tomorrow night.
Yeah, 6-3 win in game one, a 4-2 win over the Yankees in game two. Everybody hitting home runs, and yeah, Freddie Freeman might end up becoming the new Mr. October. Maybe give him a candy bar because he is hitting whammies.
I like it,
the most important time. So, yeah, game three, Monday night, 5:08 first pitch on Fox. We'll see how that does competing with Monday Night Football. It's actually a really good matchup this week in the NFL for Monday Night Football, like one I'm really excited about with the Steelers hosting the Giants. The Giants are terrible, but I'm in on Mike Tomlin. I'm in on Pittsburgh. They look great with Russell Wilson under center under the helm, so excited for that. We'll see what the numbers are. I think I heard Dirt and Sprague saying that they still expect Monday Night Football probably to get like 15-20 million sure. eyes, but you wonder, you know, if any of those are going to be watching.
I don't
the World
care
Series.
Who's playing on Monday nights, it's going to be the highest rated show on TV.
Yeah, Monday Night Football has owned, I mean, what, for now 30 years has owned that night.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, and then the NFL itself has basically owned not one now, but 2 days of the week for at least 2 decades.
Yeah, so it's a wrap for whoever else is on Monday night. Don't premiere on Monday night.
Yeah, maybe they schedule that a little bit better next year. But MLB forced to compete with Monday Night Football. But yeah, game three in New York, 5:08 first pitch, Clark Schmidt. And who did I just say? Walker Buehler taking the bump.
Buehler.
It's going to be exciting. I hope I see Freddie Freeman hitting another walk-off bomb. If anything, I think throwing like a $5 bet on a Freddie Freeman anytime home run, not the worst thing to do in the world.
Not at all.
I'll take that lottery. He could stay hot. All right, speaking of another topic that is staying hot is baseball coming to Portland. Rashad, apparently the Portland City Council is getting on board with baseball to Portland. We're going to get to that next here on Sports Sunday with Shad and Schulte on 1080 The Fan. All right, some more good news coming for baseball to Portland, at least possibly. Rashad, let's get right to this. It's from coin.com. The headline is Portland City Council considers backing Zidell Yards MLB Stadium. Now, this is huge. We've basically heard to this point that the plan for MLB to Portland, basically headed up by the Portland Diamond Project to this point, has really been accomplishing one thing, and that is finding a place to build a stadium. We've talked about several different locations, terminal up in North Portland on the water. We've talked here around our building here off of Northwest Thurman under the Fremont Bridge. We've talked about Zidell Yards, which seems to be the actual option that we're going to get into in just a second. We've talked about the Red Tail Golf course over off of 217 in the land around there. But Rashad, with Portland City Council starting to get on this, looks like we actually will have some finality here as far as a plan for MLB to Portland. And that's huge here. So let's get into it. Friday, Mayor Ted Wheeler announcing that the city council is going to vote on a resolution on Halloween that would require the city to partner with the Portland Diamond Project and essentially, you know, saying yada, yada, yada. Professional sports essential for driving economic growth and attracting investment to Portland. Proud to announce the progress of bringing an MLB team to Portland and a stadium to Portland. So essentially, this would pair up Portland Portland City Council with the Portland Diamond Project, and the Portland Diamond Project already in bed with the Zidell family, who owns Zidell Yards, the south waterfront property here in Portland on the Willamette River, which we are now considering to build a stadium. Now, Rashad, I feel like this is huge in two ways. One, having, you know, the city back you in this endeavor really establishes with Major League Baseball that you are a serious city here, that you are investing your own money, that you don't want to be, you know, like you were when the Montreal Expos moved to Washington and became the Nationals. You don't want to be the redheaded stepchild or the team that's basically used to get another offer from another team better for you. Like, there's a lot going into place. So I think, one, the city working with the Portland Diamond Project and essentially partnering with them, it really kind of, I think, bullies both of those up. It strengthens both entities as far as getting a Major League Baseball team to Portland. But two, it allows money to come in. It allows money from the city's coffers or money from the state to flow. And I'm not saying that, like, there needs to be a ton of taxpayer money put to this. But, for instance, the Senate bill back in 2001, 2002, 2003-ish, when we were trying to get the Montreal Expos as an MLB team to Portland, Oregon Senate approved, I believe it was a $150 million deal, Rashad. So basically, already, and I think this is still there in Oregon's law books, is that $150 million of taxpayer money is already dedicated to building an MLB stadium if we get it here in Portland. Now, that number was created long time ago when stadiums cost like $700 to $900 million as opposed to like $1.5 billion now. I mean, we've seen Yankee Stadium, even in 2006, had a $3.6 billion cost of construction. But then you go up to 2017 with Globe Life Field, the Texas Rangers' new ballpark. That was $1.6 million. So it's not going to be like a few hundred million to build a ballpark here in Portland. But Rashad, along with that Senate money, Portland City Council partnering up, they're still voting on it, but if they decide to do it with the Portland Diamond Project, I think that's roses for both groups, and I think that establishes a much bigger chance for Portland to get an MLB team. Will it happen? I don't know, but this is a good thing.
You know, at this point, bro, I'm a cynic. Portland Diamond Project formed in, what, 2017?
Yeah, maybe a little bit before, yeah.
It's been almost 10 years. And we've been going back and forth and back and forth. Are we going to get the A's? Are we going to get this team? Or, you know, this team is going to, and nothing's happened yet. They've continued to kind of move the stadium around. It's going to be at the PPS building. No, it's going to be here on the waterfront. No, it should be here on 217. Like, I don't know. I think it's a lot of talk to keep us interested, especially, and honestly, let's just be real. We're so desperate for another team to where we're going to let them drag us along for as long as it takes. So this could take another couple years, and then they actually have to build the stadium.
Yeah.
So building a stadium is going to take a couple, I assume from scratch, going to take a couple years. How long did it take to build San Francisco's new stadium?
I mean, or usually
the Levi Stadium.
You know, how long did it take that?
Yeah. So a year or so. Saying another 2 or 3 years to finally get everything going, and then another year and a half, two, to actually build the property. I don't know. I'm just one of the people. I don't think it's going to happen.
You like, don't?
I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's been too long. It would be great if it did, but I went from really excited. I even bought a Portland Diamond, you know, the Diamond
Project. Yeah, the PDX hat. I
bought one of those. I was so super excited for this to happen. And truthfully, at this point, I don't think it's, you know, it's kind of like, you ever met a, and I know we're both married now, but you ever met a girl or met somebody and you want to kick it. It seems like she wants to kick it too, but for whatever reason, it just never comes through. This never happens. And this has been going on for months now at that time. And then at one point you're just like, I'm cool. It doesn't even matter to me anymore. We don't really have to.
I'm tired of
doing all the extra work and all the extra planning and all the extra, you know, reading about how things are going to happen. And then nothing ever, you know, materializes. That's kind of how I'm starting to feel about this whole thing. Like, since 2017, which was a long time ago. Now, let's just be real. Like, 2017, if you graduated in 2017, 18, you're what, 26 now? Yeah, like, that's a long time. No, shoot, you're about to be 25. You're like 29, 28, you know, something like that. So my math isn't great, but you're pretty old, you know, at this point. I just don't know if it's going to happen. I think it's a lot of, you know, great press to continue to have. I think we, again, we're so desperate for another sports franchise of any sort that I think we're just going to keep, you know, investing into the story. But truthfully, for me, I'm like, at this point, I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, maybe it's my love of baseball, but seeing that, you know, obviously Portland Diamond Project still hasn't actually purchased the Zidell Yards land yet. They are doing, but this is the furthest along that we've been. I feel like they are doing their due diligence and have a limited amount of time. It's the next 42 months, essentially, to buy the former shipyard. So there's obviously, with massive amounts of money, there's time, unfortunately, that it's going to take to get things done.
Because it's more than just building a stadium.
Exactly.
It's building the culture around it.
Well, the infrastructure.
It's building infrastructure. So it's having the bars. It's having the parking. It's having access to the freeway. You know, it's having restaurants that are near. Like, go to Yankee Stadium. Go to Fenway. You know, go to wherever, Dodger Stadium, whatever the case is. Like, around that area, there's things to where you might not be able to go to the game, but you can still participate as a fan of the game and watch, like, Jacks at the Blazer game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, who wants to really? That's the only thing. Spirit of 77 that closes at, like, 9 o'clock. Like, come on, man. There's nothing around there. And so that's kind of why.
Like, real servers at
Jacks
that's
why, and that's why Moda Center kind of sucks, you know what I'm saying, among the bigger kind of arenas, you know, around the country as far as basketball is concerned.
I think it's one of the five oldest arenas in the NBA now.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. It's more than just building the stadium. Like, you have to build, like you said, the infrastructure around it to make it work.
There's a lot of space down there.
I think that's way easier said than done, but it's a lot of space, but yeah, I don't know.
33 acres, that's a ton. There's a lot of unused space down there.
That's a lot of room.
And there's, I mean, that piece of land is ripe for some sort of development. There's been plans attempted for years down there to, like, turn it into, you know, like, basically another city neighborhood, add a grocery store, add, you
move
know, 15 more
Drive.
Restaurants. But, move, like, it never happened.
Yeah, just move it to, you know, the Expo Center. Nobody uses the Expo Center for anything. Move the Expo Center to something else.
Nah, see, I disagree with you. I love this location. I feel like having that stadium next to the Tillicum Bridge on the Willamette River, so iconic. And then the city skyline
move it
of
to Kelly
Portland,
Point
Oregon.
Park. You know, they want a river and stuff like that. Move it to Kelly Point Park.
No, man, you got to have the Willamette River literally holding the edges of that stadium, and then just a couple miles up the road, you see the Moda Center in the distance as well. Like, that skyline will look pretty, and I think that it is the best location. Infrastructure-wise, I don't know, but I do know they could add some roads. They could probably close a couple of those businesses because, trust me, I've been down there recently. It's not like a lot of them are getting a lot of, like, daily customers. There's abandoned buildings that have caught on fire there that they've never done anything with. Like, there's space down there. So I'm pretty excited to see where this goes, Rashad. Unfortunately, it sounds like you don't think MLB is going to get a team to Portland, but I'm kind of getting biased and thinking that might happen.
I want them to. How dope would that be to have, you know, season tickets to the best show of the summer? Like, how much fun would that be on Thursdays and all?
Put my Mariners fandom, like, in question, wouldn't it?
Seriously, like, I mean, if you got a team here, all of a sudden I'm not a Mariners fan no more. Like, I would be a Portland whatever fan.
I'll have to figure that out. Because I don't know what I would do.
You can root for both. Mariners could still be your team.
They're literally division rivals at that point, though.
Mariners
that's hard.
Mariners could still be your team. You can root for both.
Just, you know, piss on Portland. Like, no,
seriously, if Portland today gets a football team, like, am I still a Patriots fan? Yeah, but am I not pulling for the Portland?
Yeah, but they're not in the same division.
Or whatever it is.
No, that'd be different.
No, I mean, I'm not in the same division, but still, it's like, it wouldn't be hard for me to choose hometown.
That's
all I'm saying.
See, for me, it would. I love Portland. I'm an Oregonian, like, through and through. I've only lived out of this state for, like, 10 months of my life. But Mariners baseball, get all of it. That's my motto. All right, Rashad. So, yeah, hopefully MLB to Portland will happen in the next, like, 6 years? Less? Probably close to 4 to 6 years, but
my son will be 19 in 6 years when baseball will finally happen in Portland.
But we're seeing some positives coming out of that. So, all right, we will wrap that topic up and move on to some Blazers basketball. Yikes. 0-2 to start the regular season. I guess the suck for flag or the capture the flag movement is on.
I don't think they're trying to do that, though.
No, they're not. I do think Chauncey believes that this team can compete. We'll get into that. They actually almost won against the Pelicans on Friday, and of course they do
they'll
play
have
the
a
Pelicans.
Do-over.
Yeah, one more time today, and everybody can watch it. It's on K2 today. I don't know if you knew that. It's not on Charge or whatever that extra channel is.
I'm
but
so pissed off about that.
It is on K2. So everybody, whether you stream, whether you have the antenna, you can watch today's Blazers game at 3 o'clock. But we'll get into the first two games of the Blazers regular season coming up next year on a Schultzy Shot edition of Sports Sunday. But first, Sports Center. Well, Rashad, we could have on Friday had one of the top game winners in NBA history, or at least of the season. Do you know why?
It wasn't nothing the Blazers did.
Well, they were part of it. The Portland Trailblazers game against the New Orleans Pelicans Friday night. 105-103 win. Portland had led basically up until I think near the end of the third quarter and then just kind of gave it up. Didn't really have a great third. They didn't have a great fourth is what I meant. And outside of two guys, Scoot, actually, congrats to him, shooting above 50%. That's huge for Blazers fans. That's a positive. Jeremy Grant looking good, but still not able to get the win. So, sorry, that doesn't really matter to me as much. I'll mention that Scoot shot over 50%. That's a positive, but not really going to matter to me. But the game winner that Brandon Ingram shot over Anfernee Simons. Allegedly, those two share the same baby mama.
No, it's not alleged. It's a thing.
So it could be, according to Twitter, because there were so many people asking, like, pick of the baby mama, or it never happened. Another comment said, I need this confirmed, because if so, this is a top three winner in game history. Like, I don't know if it's like top three in history, but yeah, top three of the season for sure. That is just, Brandon Ingram obviously with some extra juice there, right? Like, you know those guys are thinking about that when they face off against each other. And what a dummy Ant is. Come on. Like, dude, the kid's already there with another woman and you're just like, whatever, I'm cool.
Listen.
Allegedly.
Listen, all you young athletes out there that are having unprotected relations with these 304s out here in the world, just doing whatever with everybody. Like, here's a girl that New Orleans is not close to Portland.
No.
And here's a dude that plays in the Pacific Northwest. For in some way, they know the same chick. How that works of all, as women outnumber men by so much.
Yeah.
But yet and still, these two NBA All-Star and borderline NBA All-Star met the same 304. If you don't know what 304 is, look it up. They met the same one and both had a baby by her. That's the craziest thing in the world. Like, these jersey chasers are really out there to try to get rich, and these dudes are helping them. What's my man's name? Jalen Green. His baby mom, Jalen Green's what, 22 now? 23?
Yeah, I think so, 23.
His baby mom's like 34,
oh
35.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And she's had babies with other
NBA
famous,
players or
you know,
athletes
famous
or, yeah.
people. I'm just like,
y'all really
I don't see
keep,
how this works.
How do you keep falling for that?
Like, for entertainers, like, it makes sense to me. Like, you run in the same circles and stuff like that. Like, you go to the same parties.
Well, these guys are too.
It makes sense that you guys, but these guys are. How is she?
Because she's,
you're at the
parties, all connected.
You're at the parties in Portland, in LA, and you're also at the parties.
Guys travel.
They do. That's what I'm saying. Like, they, but they happen to meet the same one, and there was no point that either one of these dudes was like, nah, I shouldn't mess with her. She got a baby with the old dude.
Wrap this up really quickly and talk actual Blazers for a couple of minutes, but a couple more really funny comments from X about this situation. Who cares about LeBron and his kid together? I think the story of two Eskimo brothers facing off is way more interesting. Another one said daddy over daddy. And then this kind of off-court connection between players adds an unexpected layer to the rivalry on the court. Makes for a compelling narrative for the league. I mean, I don't necessarily think that's true. It's really funny, but it's just like, I guess it just highlights, you know, the alleged stupidity of young kids, which we're watching young millionaires being young millionaires.
Come on, fellas,
right now.
Be better.
Well, the Portland Trailblazers, I'm not sure, have the ability to be better, Rashad. They were in the game, like I said, against New Orleans on Friday night. But yeah, they just didn't shoot well enough in the fourth quarter. And if it weren't for Ant, like, hitting 10 free throws, then he wouldn't have had 24 points. But dude was 6 for 20. Like, it's just not good. And when your team is shooting 43%, and basically that number alone is because of Jeremy Grant and Scoot Henderson. If you threw those numbers out and it was just Ant and everybody else and DeAndre Ayton, it would be down in like to the 30-something percentage.
DeAndre Ayton play well the other night. I don't expect that to last.
No. He'll get back to it.
Yeah, so they actually play today at 3 o'clock. I'll be there.
On K2.
So
you're going to watch it in person.
Going to the game. You know, my uncle was able to come up on some tickets for me. I said, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. So,
are you concerned about Denny Avdija not really doing much against the Pelicans and then not really hitting too many? Well, he didn't hit any threes, but he didn't really hit too many shots.
He plays in Portland now.
Yeah.
I'm didn't concerned hit too many about shots. It. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think Denny's going to be fine. I think it takes a long time. Mind you, he's the odd man out because he's the one person that's entered the lineup that wasn't here last year. And so I think these guys kind of learn how to play with each other at the end of the season. And I think at this point, he just got to find his groove, which, you know, can be a little tougher to do with a team that doesn't really have an identity right now, you know, so.
No, they do not. Yeah, no. If Joe Cronin's going one way saying they're still developing, and I don't know if they're still thinking this, but this was at the end of last season when Joe said that. And then in literally the next breath, Chauncey said, "Hey, we're competing for the playoffs next year with this roster." You know, it honestly kind of sucks, Rashad, because, yeah, they lost by 36 points to open the season. So anybody saying that there are positives that you can take from that game,
well,
stop
I think there
it.
Is. I think
stop buying the Blazers Kool-Aid.
Here's the positive that you take from that game. There's a lot to go wrong in a blowout like that. Like last night, the game they had on Friday night, you a little more defensive effort, a little something, you know, some made free throws. DeAndre Ayton doesn't go what did he go 5 for 14? If he goes 7 for 14, you win that game, right? There's some things to take away from a close loss, you know, but a blowout, nothing went right. Like, okay, we can chalk that one up as a loss. Like, there's nothing you can do. They made all the shots, we couldn't make ours. But here's an instance.
They weren't making their shots at first. It was the second half of the Warriors.
No, the second half
really
killed it. And that's what the Warriors do too, right? Third quarter, that's when they turn it on. That's just that's their MO. That's
like
what they've
Steph
always
hit like three threes.
That's
the
what they've always done. And mind you, they didn't play Steph the other night and they still lost by 2 points. But
Pelicans are pretty bad, and Zion did not play well. Like
they're pretty bad, but still the Pelicans, you know, they've got good guard play. Obviously, they've got a good play on the wing. Zion, you know, when he is on, he's on. Like the Pelicans are still a tough out, you know, for a lot of people. So I think, and they're 2-0, you know, at this point. So they've beaten a couple teams too, you know, including the Blazers. But again, a loss like that by 2 points, I can look at the tape and say this went wrong here, this went wrong here. But if we fix this, we can win these games. When you get blown out like that, there's nothing you can do. I just got blown out.
Oh, it sucks to be a Blazers fan. Looking at this roster, I see like 6 or 7 guys that would pair really well with Damian Lillard if he were still here. It's just it's torture to me to watch this team. Stop! I can't forget it. I'm never going to forget. Moving on from the franchise that I know you don't think so. I think. No, he didn't.
He
did not.
From us.
He moved on from the Blazers after they said, "Hey, we're going to draft somebody to help you," and then drafted his replacement. What do you do?
He didn't try to get anybody to come and play here with him.
What are you talking about? Yes, he did.
Who?
Nobody's going to come here. Nobody. Since the Jamal Crawford's free agent signing and how badly that went when LaMarcus Aldridge recruited Jamal, which was, what, 12, 13 years ago, and Jamal hated his time in Portland and was off. Like, he left as quick as he could.
At the same time, you're talking about a dude that made everybody else in the league feel like if you do run from your...
His agent.
That was Dame.
Dame talking...
Said that. Did he not say that?
But his agent changed the narrative after. It was not Dame coming out
saying
that.
Agents do. But yes, we've heard him multiple times say, "I'm not leaving nowhere. That's not important to me. All those little things, man. I don't care if I ever win a championship," which is a lie in the first place. You know, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah,
that's
we're going story. Into stuff that's been talked about over and over and over again. But Blazers, 0-2, they are facing off against the Pelicans, hosting them for the second game in a row in a back-to-back, or I guess a home-home, technically not back-to-back days. But 3 o'clock tip, and that is on K2 today. All right. We'll wrap it up here on Sports Sunday. Coming up next, 1080 The Fan. All right, just a couple of minutes left here in our final segment of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan, a Schulte Shot edition. Wanted to wrap it up with something fun, Rashad. Of course, Halloween this Thursday. I'm throwing a nice little celebration at my house on Friday. I figured that'd be the best day to do it, you know, kind of extend the Halloween for people.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna be dressing up as Jack Skellington. My wife's going to be going as Sally, and I was wondering what the top Halloween costumes of 2024 are, and a couple of these pretty funny, a couple of these don't know who the hell they are, so Rashad, we'll go through them and see if you know who they are, and text in Vancouver Ford text line or on the YouTube if you want to let us know if you're dressing up, if you hate Halloween, or what like the favorite costume that you've ever worn in your life was. I don't know, I'd probably have to go like with the Power Rangers for that one. Like, it was pretty cool as a kid. I think the white Power Ranger was probably my favorite costume. So
I went as Deion Sanders one year. That's, I had a bunch cool of, you know, my football equipment,
yeah,
and everything, and so bought a Deion Sanders jersey, blue pants, and Dallas Cowboys. I didn't wear the helmet, but I wore, you know, shoulder pads and a jersey and everything. It was pretty cool.
Oh, hell yeah. No, that's awesome. So let's see, top 10 searched on Google Halloween costumes for 2024. Shrunken Head Bob from Beetlejuice.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that,
I've seen
that,
a lot of that.
Yeah, that just came out. It makes sense. Number two, Ray Gun, the viral Olympics breakdancer from Australia. If you don't know who we're talking about, it's that terrible female breakdancer from Australia that got ousted in the first round and basically made a joke out of on social media because it looked like this woman had never breakdanced in her life before.
Apparently, she was like the number one breakdancer in Australia.
Like, female breakdancer in Australia. Like, that is a low bar then.
That's,
because
yeah, that's crazy.
I'm not the most athletic guy. I'm pretty chubby. I don't move very smoothly, but Some of those maneuvers could have been done by my chubby ass.
Yeah, Raymond Felton was chubby. He had an NBA career. So was Escalade from And1.
Like they also have way better genetics than I do. So they can be chubby, but they still can shoot a basketball better than like 99% of the world. Let's see. Dolores from Beetlejuice.
The red, or was she green?
No. Yeah, I think so. And then let's see, I believe Pomni, which is also a Beetlejuice character. No, I don't think that is. I don't know what Pomni is. We've got Dr. Doom, comic book character. That's pretty good. Wolverine, Deadpool and Wolverine, but specifically Wolverine because of the movie earlier this year.
Okay.
It's pretty sweet. Although, I don't know, you got to go full on. And when you're wearing a mask for like 2-3 hours, it does get a little sweaty at the end of the night. It's like my Jack Skellington head is going to be off for some of the party. I can't walk around in that thing the whole time and just raise my mask up for a drink and then put it back on.
No,
if I went as Wolverine, you'd see like the Wolverine outfit and then I'd walk in with like the mask on and then I'd take it off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any time to sweat my ass off. Let's see. Other than that, Despicable Me, Minions.
Are always a...
And did you see the Oregon Duck puddles wearing Minion goggles running in for the game yesterday against the Fighting Illini?
I did not see that part.
And then any character from Sesame Street, still pretty popular for the kids. But obviously Beetlejuice topping the list, not surprising.
I'm glad there are no serial killer costumes this year. I thought it was really creepy with all the, what was it, not Ted Bundy, but what's the leader?
Oh God, why can't I remember his name? My sick brain just isn't helping me right now.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Thank you.
When the Dahmer stuff came out.
Oh yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer.
There's a lot of Jeffrey Dahmer.
And I'm not
I don't see as many clowns lately, but I assume I'm going to see a lot of Terrifier.
I hate clowns, and I do feel like John Wayne Gacy is kind of a reason, like that other serial killer that dressed up as a clown all the time is one reason why most people don't like to dress as clowns.
Yeah,
I really can't
most
stand looking
don't
at
really
them.
Like clowns. You ever seen the movie Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Nope, no thank you. I'm good.
It's not. It's more funny than it is scary.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not very scary at all.
Sorry, I thought it was like a House of a Thousand Corpses or something.
No,
just
nothing.
Like, no,
nothing
thank
like
you.
That.
That scarred me for life. I watched that in college.
Thousand, yeah.
Yeah, Rob Zombie
Dr.
film,
Satan?
House of a Thousand Corpses. Yeah,
yeah,
Dr. Satan, Rainn Wilson is in it, one of his early roles before he became Dwight Schrute. I had nightmares for a week, bro. Seriously. I cannot watch that S. Just can't do it.
Mm.
And that's coming from somebody that falls asleep listening to like Forensic Files episodes.
Yeah.
Listening to deep seated like gross crimes, but I can't do House of a Thousand Corpses.
No, yeah, I'm not a big not a big horror movie guy in the first place, so.
I watched The Shining with my wife this season. So.
My wife has never seen it. She actually just told me that yesterday, so we'll probably be watching it at some point.
That is why my wife and I watched it, because Kendall's like, never seen it. I'm like, well, okay, you got to see it, babe, just once. You don't have to like it, but just to know what people are talking about.
Yeah.
All right, Rashad, appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for all your hard work today.
You already know, bro. Appreciate you, Mudgy.
Hope Joe has had a good Sunday off. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your football Sunday. This is a Schulte Shot edition of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.